recorded live. Welcome to Wake Up with Ab. You can call us at 724-444-7444, call ID 123030, or Skype me at ab.arato99. And now, on with the show. All right, guys, how you doing tonight? This is me, Ab. I'll be your host. I'm just pretending I'm a talk show host. This is sort of fun for me. And combine this with some 9/11 talk, which has so far been my latest obsession. Who knows how long it's going to last, though. But in the meantime, we're going to have some fun. I have a guest today, my first official guest, Steve Yankee451. How do you pronounce your last name there, Steve?
It's Dayok. It's I like to say it's the opposite of Nighthawk.
Dayok?
Yeah, yeah, Dayok.
Oh, Dayhawk. Oh, perfect. Oh, beautiful. Well, excellent, excellent. How are all the volume levels? I never checked with you guys.
That seems okay with me. You.
That music isn't too loud?
Nope, I can hear it. Well, the intro music, that woke me up, but no, I don't hear any music right now.
No, I just turned it off. I just wanted to know how that came through. All right, well, Steve, I found you through my various ins and outs through all the different forums, Let's Roll, September Clues, and I found your post rather interesting. That took me, I think, to your blog, where I read a post about your latest experiment, and then I saw you posted a YouTube video, which I found really quite well done. And I actually sent, that was one of the few videos or things I actually sent off to my father. I originally sent him some Alex Jones stuff, and he pretty much told me that the guy's a kook and stop sending him all that stuff. So I sent him your video because I thought it was quite professionally done. And you were you laid out your whole argument quite well. And my dad called me back and said to me, "Boy, now that's a good video. The guy's calm and he can present an argument as opposed to these other videos where they're just yelling at me." So that's little compliment to you.
Good, good job. I got similar responses from my own family, which was really my intended audience. And if I can reach anybody else, then that's just gravy as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, reaching my friends and family has been my intent all along.
Did the video go back up? Because I noticed it went down. I think there was some syncing problems, but it came back up.
Really? It did go down, huh? I didn't notice. No, I didn't know.
Well, no, it said it was removed by the user within a few hours. I think you said you were working on some syncing issues with the video.
Oh, was that you who sent that first comment? Oh, thank you for that. I had to remove it to pull it down because the voice wasn't syncing at the end of it. So I just had to pull it quickly and then reburn another copy.
All right. Well, I wrote a few notes tonight, so why don't you, for the audience, just introduce who you are, not personal details, but just how you came about to deciding to do this video.
Well, I've been obsessed with 9/11 for quite some time now. Probably a couple years afterwards when I finally started digging into it. I first started into 9/11, you know, like a Sasquatch or alien type chat, just a fun kind of thing to to spend time. Actually, I used to poke my finger in the Republicans' eyes when they used to blame Bush for it way back then.
Mm-hmm.
So it started out as just kind of a fun thing, but after a while, you dig into it and you realize, oh, there's nothing fun about this. This is deadly serious. And you just start digging into it. You scratch the surface and you just, maybe a new obsession for you, but I haven't stopped. So,
mm-hmm. When did that start with you?
Oh, probably, shortly afterwards, within 2 years. I mean, I had a job where I had a lot of internet time, so I was able to read a lot. And, I mean, I've gone through the whole gamut of all the different schools of 9/11 of thought, I guess you can call them. With,
mm-hmm.
You know, I started out with the Scholars for 9/11 Truth at the back when Jones and Fetzer were still, they still liked each other.
Right.
And, yeah, so, you know, it's been a learning experience. It still is. I've learned enough now to know I really don't know anything. So, you know, so my biggest goal and what I've learned in the truth movement is that there's a whole lot of infighting that goes on, and there's not a whole lot of progress getting made. I participated in a lot of that. You read the article, I think, to Simon Shack and Hoy Polloi that I wrote.
Yeah, I read that. I reviewed it.
And so that's the sort of thing I'm trying to avoid with this. After so many years of beating my head against this and trying to break through, you know, to my friends and family, and really ending up just alienating myself from everyone I care about.
Right.
I've been trying to figure out a way to get through to these people. While on Let's Roll one day that I somebody Clark Shark was the username. He posted a question: has anybody done a crash test like this MythBusters thing?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, the skies parted, and the angels sang, and a beam of light hit my keyboard, and I realized that this is what would do it. This would wake up the masses. I mean, I'm an American. I was born red-blooded American male. I love to watch explosions. So, what better way to get people's attention than with an exciting laboratory test that would prove definitively, one way or the other, what happened? And I figured if we got a unified front of all of the truth movement groups, you know, the various disparate groups that are all poking a finger in each other's eye, and we could pressure a test center and use I'll explain the project a little more in detail, but this is the background. I just figured that this would be a great way to get the attention of the mainstream to be sort of like a breakthrough to the mainstream media, because you know if you're familiar with Let's Roll and September Clues, then you know all about the media fakery, and you got to realize that the media have been covering up for 9/11 and their involvement in it ever since. They were all part and parcel to the propaganda barrage that has been so essential to its long-term success, right?
Right.
So how do you get past that? Well. This is the way I'm doing it. I'm just trying to reach out to other like-minded people like me. I'm not trying to reach the people who are the non-believers. I'm trying to reach people like me that don't know what else to do. You know, they're tired of blogging all day long and fighting on the internet. You're not getting anywhere with that. What else can we do to make a real impact?
Mm-hmm. So this will be more of a. You're trying to envision this as sort of a breakthrough technique, just to get past the. Very small group of individuals that are obsessed with the 9/11 hoax.
Yeah, so
I guess is the best word to call it, just to break through, because I was trying to figure out in my head what percentage of the people are aware that there was a hoax perpetrated on 9/11. And I dare say just an informal poll, it's got to be 2-3% at the most. Now, if people have their suspicions that things didn't add up, like myself, and I simmered with the knowledge of things just being out of place and unexplained and nothing much I can do about it, not going to go there, don't have any interest, and I went along for, well, probably a lot longer than anyone that's listening right now, 11 years. It was just this year that I was jabbed into it by various... happenstances. So again, it's a super small slice of pie of the population that are actually aware of what happened, and or rather, that it was a hoax. Now, a lot, like I said, the percentage is probably 50% of the population knows things did not add up, where there was a plane, hard to find a plane at the Pentagon, hard to find any evidence of a plane in Shanksville. But I don't think anyone has gone much farther than just plain old curiosity, in the sense that, well, the government has probably done their best to look into it, and there's nothing more to see here.
Well, that's where the disparate truth movements come in. I'm not going to name names anymore. Mm-hmm. I've turned over a new leaf, and I'm trying to bury the hatchet. And all of my old bad behavior can be researched. If you Google Yankee 451, you can see what I've said everywhere.
Right.
But the idea is that people think there's something going on. There's a truth movement out there, right?
Right. And they'll get to the bottom of it.
Sure, there's PhDs working on this stuff. We've got rocket scientists. They know it. There are engineers and architects petitioning the government for redress, right?
Right.
But this is a lot like, you know, requesting the Nazis would investigate the Reichstag fire.
That's right. It's like hiring a fox to investigate the chicken coop theft.
Sure. And so, if the video was genuine, it was exactly how I felt mm-hmm. about this whole thing, because we have to reach these people. I don't want to leave my grandchildren a world like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I was trying to appeal to, was other people like me and other people who might think there was something going on. But mostly, I'm really trying to get the attention of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, I it's because everyone I know is a very smart person, but they just don't think about this thing, and it's hard to wrap your brain around. I get it, I certainly get it, and you probably do too. I mean, if you're new to the whole concept, you marched through the last 11 years, you know, probably not even thinking about it.
No, not really. No. Definitely not. I had too many other things to do, raise a family,
mm-hmm.
go to work.
Sure, everybody does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you get through that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll go into detail on your exact video, your exact experiment you want. I just add one more point. What was it? In, I guess, 2 years after 9/11, that spurred you on. What was the inciting incident that got you looking in a little more deeply? Was there any one or two things? And go ahead.
I think it was Gerard Holmgren's stuff.
Right.
That's really where the bottom fell out. Like my guts were scooped out with a spoon is how I describe it. I just felt sick. When uh-huh. I started realizing, because, you know, you trust the media. We're trained. We all have our favorite media. You know, I used to be a liberal NPR listener and National Public Radio. And so everybody's got their loyal media that they rely on, you know. And so when I realized that, when I started reading Holmgren's stuff and the whole concept about no planes and everything didn't really seemed to settle then, but it was his certainty when he described that, I just know a plane can't sink through a building like that. That's when I just kind of went cold and started thinking along those lines. Now, it took me a couple more years, probably till September Clues, before I became what they call a no-planer.
Right.
I think it
How
was.
Did you,
I think,
sorry to interrupt. How did you stumble on Gerard Holmgren? Because I'd never heard of him before. Well, of course, I'd never heard of most of the characters in this whole drama until this year. But how did you find him? How did you stumble on that particular? Were you actively researching on the internet? Were you Googling the Pentagon movie? I think a French guy. Where's the find the Boeing?
Yeah, that was back then, and I don't think at the time even YouTube was available. Although my memory's a little foggy, but
mm-hmm.
well, these were all on, you know, forums. So
mm-hmm.
you can't see a whole lot of photographs. You're not going to see much of anything except text and the descriptions.
Right.
And so it was kind of the seed that was planted there. Now, I thought it was just crazy, the whole no plane concept, but the whole concept behind it really sunk in that, oh, yeah, there's something seriously not right here because the plane really can't do that. Mm-hmm. It took many more years before I started considering that the media might be involved.
Right.
But I don't know where I found him. It would have been on one of the numerous blogs. I was definitely digging deep there for many years, just reading everything I could get my hands on. And that's really all my contribution was just reading everybody else's material.
Right.
I didn't start speaking out until, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Right. What were some of the... I've learned about rabbit trails and going down certain holes and limited hangouts and honeypots, all laid out for us by the masters, the perps, as Simon says on September Clues, of the whole hoax. What were some of the rabbit trails that you went down, and when did you... And when you got there, when did you realize you were in a dead end? I don't know if you're an adventure player. Some of the adventure games back in the 80s, I remember, where you would go into different rooms in some of the old Apple games, and you were looking for clues for some of the adventure games, and you realize you're in a dead end, and then you have to go back all the way to the front foyer, for instance. I think that Haunted Mansion game... Mm-hmm. Way back in the 80s. So similarly, what were some of the rabbit trails that you went down, and how far did you get down before you decided you're in a dead end and you had to come back out?
Wow. I'm not even sure I'm not in a dead end now. I'm still working. the first one was the Scholars for 9/11
right.
Truth.
Some of the earlier rabbits. Some of the, yeah. Sorry.
I think that was the first one, the first group that came out. Because that's when I was really digging. I was just voraciously reading everything I could get my hands on, and I had it figured out every week. You know?
Sorry, I must have talked over you. Sometimes the audio is not great on this system, I guess. But what was that group? The Scholars group?
Yeah, the Scholars. That was the first Scholars group before Fetzer and Stephen Jones split up.
Okay.
And so it started out, it seemed really good, it seemed logical, and you know, we all, everybody loves to appeal to authority, right? And that was my first experience there, was with what I call, and I want to be kind to everybody here, because I'm going to be on Fetzer's show here in a couple of weeks.
How are you?
But
okay,
I thought it was controlled opposition. I didn't know which side to go with, but it was a messy intellectual divorce that we were basically forced to choose sides for. And I think I went with Jones at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I followed that rabbit hole a little further. And so, and after a while I got disgusted and just, I dropped out for a while. I thought, all right, that was pretty discouraging for me at the time. Because I was really hopeful. I signed my name to it. I don't do that because, you know, you're taught to be afraid of the internet and you don't want to go public. But
yeah,
I put my name on there because I thought, what else? This is important. And I believe that if we're going to war over this, then yeah, it's kind of important. So that was the first one. I dropped out after that. I joined up with, I didn't join up. I started buying into the whole directed energy thing there for a while.
Right.
Bought into that. I was convinced about that. And
when did that start? Was that 2006, 2007 when Judy Wood came on the scene?
Yeah, that was her stuff. And again, appealing to authority, using PhDs, and you know, the background stories are always very compelling. Any propaganda must be compelling, otherwise who would believe it? And so... the biggest thing is once you start learning these lessons, you go through discouragement and hope, and I think I got it. I've been led down. And you start distrusting everyone.
Right. What exactly discouraged you about the whole Jones rabbit hole? Was it just that no progress was made? They were just talking about one particular thing, and it was just a confusing thing to be talking about, the thermite and the whatnot?
Well, I just, no, because I went with Jones, and it, why was it a rabbit hole? Was because it's been a while, so give me a moment here.
Sure.
I believe it was that they were, that he, where was it that he developed, where, when he worked for the weapons industry? It was, what's that lab in California that he worked at?
I don't remember.
Yeah, somebody, I'm sure the people on the chat are hopping up and down yelling it at me here, but he developed some allegedly top secret weapons, right? And so,
right.
To me, I thought that Fetzer was nuts, and so I went with Jones, and then I learned that he was, you know, he's been developing weapons for some time,
right,
for the government, and that, you know, it, to me, it just seemed like, oh, another false lead. With the guy who's now the thermite seemed very, very compelling, and then all of the television shows where he would be cut off, you know, just before he could get his demonstration done, that sounded very compelling too, as any good propaganda should. And so I became very skeptical about everything. I thought, all right, if you can't trust this mild-mannered guy from, you know, if his background is in the weapons industry, then I'm starting to distrust him too. You can't trust the mild-mannered guy from Utah, and the other camp is the directed energy weapons. All right, well, that seems silly, so I walked away from it all. But I tried to keep an open mind and came back and started looking at the directed energy weapons again. Okay, all right. Something had to destroy these towers.
Right.
And so I can't recall what it was that turned me off completely from Jones, but it was mostly his background.
Right. Okay.
And I think it was propaganda from Judy Wood, actually, that prompted me to go that path, because I started reading some of her material, which said, hey, this is his background. And, you know, I've been fired and what have you. My colleagues have been murdered, but he's just out there. He's just working just fine. You know, so it was Judy Wood's work that started pointing fingers at Jones that made me suspect him, and then I started suspecting everybody, and I think a lot of us do that still. Everybody suspects everyone else still. Again,
right.
Good propaganda would do that. It's all divide and conquer, right?
That's right. Instead of keeping your eye on the ball, everyone is being dispersed just by little petty differences, and again, unless you just step away from it, take two steps back, you realize the rest of the world isn't even watching. They don't even care. So
yeah.
It just makes what you're doing, all the infighting, even more irrelevant.
Exactly.
Especially to the outside world.
Yeah, especially to the outside world. And these are the people we're trying to reach. Otherwise, we're just preaching to the choir, and a choir that's
right.
Trying to out-sing the other choir.
Yes, it's useless. Okay, why don't we describe the experiment? That's the main thrust of your of the show tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a.
Let's post. Do you have the link to it, or I guess the link to your video, which pretty much illustrated it? Maybe we could pop it in the chat later on, or
sure,
or your website. You could just. One of the things I've found about some of these talk show chats, just as an aside, is most people listen to all my audio after the fact. I'm working all day, so I usually find time during the day and I stop and start audio all day long. So I find that it's really important to say everything that we see and not rely too much on the chat, because again, nobody, when it comes to listening, can really see anything. So if you could just give us some Google words that people can just plug in, because no one is also going to be able to write down URLs. So maybe just a couple keywords to search on so we can find the information is a good idea.
Yeah, you can go to 9/11 crash test, all one word, 911crashtest.org,
okay.
And you'll find all the links you need.
Okay. And that has the links to your YouTube where you do the demonstration or the animation of the demonstration.
Yeah, the name of the video itself is called Tired of War Without End, and you can Google it and you'll find it.
Okay. Well, go ahead and describe it then.
All right. So in an attempt to reach the mainstream public, or at least to embarrass the mainstream media, this is kind of an attempt to raise awareness in the public. I don't want to call it a publicity stunt because my wife admonished me for that, but it is an attempt to do conduct a scientific test to prove what happens to the wing of a 767 when it strikes steel box columns at 550 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we can speculate all we like. We can toss around physics and Newton's laws all we like, but we're not going to get anywhere unless we reach somebody. And I bounced this off a buddy of mine who's very conservative, dyed-in-the-wool, Fox-watching, red-blooded American, who'd been laughing at me for about 10 years over this subject. And I just showed him my brief thoughts on this project with a couple with that MythBusters video, and he got very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
got very quiet, and he said, "Oh, that wing would just blow up when it hits the columns." He said it would explode. And then a couple days later, he called me up on the phone. He said, "How do you deal with being lied to like that?" And I said, "You see how I deal with it." And we both
right.
But,
nothing you had told his buddy in the past had got him interested or made him suspicious of anything about 9/11.
No,
and he just thought you were in another world.
Yeah, I thought I was a wild-eyed conspiracy nutcase, and a lot of it was due to my delivery because I was very excited when I was explaining these things. You got to get a lot out with one breath.
Yeah.
You know?
Were you like me when you found something new? You just picked up the phone and called someone and said, "Never mind, it wasn't a nuclear bomb. It was a directed energy weapon."
Yeah, every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you realize you only have one chance to make a first impression. And I think you realize, like me, after a while, you could just tell the interest level of the person on the other end of the phone was going down rapidly and they were just starting to shake their head.
Yeah, and that is the challenge, isn't it? So that's what this test is designed to overcome, or I don't know, designed to. It is chipping away at the dam here. All right, and I'm just trying to get some sort of inroad, and so to do that, we're trying to do this project, which is to create a crash test and a documentary of the project itself. Which will show the results from multiple different angles. Now, I think that what we can do, if we can actually pull it off, we can do multiple tests, because physics being what it is, it should work either direction. If we put and I'll explain the test now. The idea is to take a section of a real 767 wing from a scrapyard. They're all over the Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the crash test site, there's a link I have in the forum of a couple in California who built a house using the wing of a 747 for a roof. Now, that video is great to watch. I highly recommend it. It's in the forum on the 911crashtest.org site.
Mm-hmm.
They bought a whole 747 for $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the wings and everything, no electronics, no engines, and none of the really expensive stuff. But that's the aluminum shell, and that's a lot of aluminum. Then you got to ship it out of there. But the video gives a good impression as to how hollow a wing is, and how cheap a whole airplane is for a test like this. So, well, we could buy a whole 767 for probably less than a 747, and then we'd have two wings. And a fuselage, and we could start blowing stuff up right and left.
Mm-hmm.
So it really becomes how much money can we throw at this thing to be able to do a more impressive experiment. But the thing is that the government's probably not going to let us pull off something like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there is a test, and I believe that we all know what would happen, I think the wing would just be destroyed no matter which way you slice it. If this could occur, they're probably not going to allow it. But that's also part of the point, because we will make them stop us. All of this raises awareness. If we get to the point of actually funding this or requesting funding, and I'll explain how that works later, even that will raise awareness, because that is public advertising in the mainstream at that point. So the way the funding works, I guess, for many of these sites, you can go to any of the fundraising sites I have on the video. I'll use, for example, Kickstarter as an example. They can raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for projects. For example, one of them I was looking at was, believe it or not, a video game sequel to one of those car crash games. And they raised $433,000 for it. They got 101% of their target goal. So they can raise some money on these sites. And I think that there is an audience. You mentioned a 2% figure of perhaps the people in the world who are aware of this and might even be interested in this. Well, out of 6 billion, that's a pretty big chunk of people. And it won't take that many to reach the target figure that we need to conduct this test.
Right.
So that's it in a nutshell. We are going to conduct the test, and we're going to try to push the project forward as long as we are allowed. And every step of the way, we'll advertise it. We'll put it on. We'll, you know. Now we're doing the engineering and the procurement phase, et cetera, et cetera.
So you're going to administer the whole thing, or are you going to try and find some scientific partners, as it were, universities or underwriters lab or somebody like that?
It's going to be an open source thing. So that would mean that this is a public project. We're bypassing our world governments and our world media, and we're going to do it ourselves.
Right.
So I'm asking for everybody. I don't have the background in that stuff. I don't even know how to write. I haven't even been able to write a letter to New Mexico Tech, the Energetic Materials Research and Testing Center, to get a reply from them yet, because I haven't found the right verbiage for it. And I don't have any credentials, and who the hell am I? Nobody knows who I am. They just see me as being some conspiracy guy who has a couple websites. They're not going to talk to me. So that's why I reached out to Morgan Reynolds and Jim Fetzer and the rest of the gang at, and all of them. I sent emails to every one of the groups I could find, including Judy Wood, except Simon Shack, because I'm banned from September Clues.
Right. Yeah, we'll get into that next.
Yeah, but because you know, these fellows, they tout some letters after their names, some PhDs and doctorates and that sort of thing, and they have experience with government and universities to get this sort of project, just this sort of project done. So I'm reaching out to them to get the numbers from New Mexico Tech or from whatever testing center we're asking for. The way the fundraising works is you have to have a very, very accurate project plan, because all of it is under public scrutiny. All of the donors are going to want to see how their money is paying out, so they'll follow the project the whole way. So it really is an open source, open to everybody. Nobody's going to make any money on this except, you know, the people who are getting paid for their services along the way. And so every step of the way, it becomes an advertising push for 9/11. So, and I don't expect it to become a big peace movement or anything like that. But it's a step in the right direction. And if I can inspire somebody else on some other continent to do the same thing, something similar, then so be it. I mean, the work of John Cole, with his thermite experiments kind of inspired me to do something along these lines.
Right. Okay.
So baby steps, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds interesting. Have you got any interest at all since you put the video up from any of the intended targets, or we're just starting now? So
I've received from the test centers?
Well, I know you're still working on the verbiage to write to the test center, but just any support at all? I think you got a few comments on your blog about it.
Yeah, it's I've received a couple of offers from people who want to give me money, and I said thank you, but not yet.
Right.
I've had had some offers from documentary filmmakers who want to join up. Yeah, I've had a few people tossing in some requests to be part of the project, and I think it's been a fantastic success already. Just the few comments I've reached, I've gone into this thinking if I can reach even one person, then it's a success, because that's one more person, right? So I don't know, baby steps, like I said. But it's just been a week. It's been a week, yeah. And I think it's probably crested already in popularity, but it may get a little bit more interest towards the September 11th anniversary. But this will take months before we get
right.
anywhere. Yeah.
Have we approached any local mainstream media who again appears to be on the other side of the? Of the line when it comes to this whole event, if you're to believe.
Yes,
yeah.
I have.
What's happened with them?
I haven't received boo.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of assumed that it would be too hot for them to handle, but I didn't know. I assumed it's an alternative radio station, a local radio station called KBOO, in Oregon, and great radio station, and if anyone would advertise it or give me the time of day, it would be them. But I haven't received anything back from them yet.
Right, and you sent the video, which is your best piece of advertising about it.
Exactly. Yeah, I sent it to three people at the station, so I know they got it. But
you know, this is just turned into a third rail, if you want to use a subway analogy, where people just are not. They just don't want to go near it, period, I think. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. And that's the whole point behind this project, is to get past that. This is serious stuff.
Right.
We've been at war now for 11 years. I can't see an end in sight anywhere. And somebody's got to do something except vote. I mean, vote if you must, but be real, folks. It's the same policies for the last 11 years, two different presidents. I'm not seeing a whole lot change here.
Right. Well, let's move on to where I think I am in this whole 9/11 thing, and that's September clues. I've meandered all around the internet and gone through all the theories that you have. I was stuck on Judy Wood's thing for quite a while. I even, to my own chagrin, bought the book, and it's a really lovely picture book. But besides all the mathematical formulas and complete inventory of everything that was in all the pictures, I didn't really read it.
Yeah.
I leafed through it and enjoyed the pictures, but I wanted to believe it really badly, probably like you, but.
Yeah.
It really involved a lot of magic, because there was so much about it that seemed magic. And again, my argument to other people was, what else could make two 500,000-ton steel and concrete towers turn into dust, including everything in them? And it was really a very convenient explanation. But unfortunately, the mechanics of it, trying to explain to anybody what the actual mechanics were whether it be some kind of magnetic interference, and I even thought I had it described pretty well, create a static field with some force and then introduce some sort of microwave directional interference into that static field, then you would have molecular dissociation, like a person she found on the internet who comes and goes in terms of whether he's real or whether he's really there or not. And the more I thought about it, the more people looked at me really strangely. And I thought, well, I know it's hard to believe, but again, we're 50 years behind knowing what technology is actually available. So don't worry. Pretty sure it's there. But again, the more I thought about it, the less people would look at me with a straight face, the more I thought, well, maybe I better keep looking. And I think that's when I was reading a comment in one of the many forums, and someone said, look at September Clues. There's a perspective issue that he's pointing out with some of the buildings in some of the videos, and then I just started reading it. And then that sort of started to solidify my view again that it would be a lot easier to fake everything than to actually try and coordinate all these different elements, whether it be weapons we've never heard of, we've never seen before. And again, the time issue when the towers disappeared in 10 seconds, that's a huge thing to overcome. Making anything disappear in 10 seconds, including a piece of sandwich in front of you. Really, think about it. It's pretty hard to believe.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you went through.
Yep.
So September Clues really to me is the Occam's razor, the whatever the simplest explanation of something is probably what it is. And just I haven't finished reading the forum. It'll take days, especially when I read on my phone, which is where I do a lot of my internet reading. So, but it seems like they're on the right track. And it seems like some of the arguments you were arguing with Simon Shack about were, I thought, minor. I thought they were minor issues, whether I think your main argument was whether there was all CGI or mostly CGI with real backgrounds. To me, as someone who hasn't been deep into this as long as you have or most people, I thought it was a minor issue because I really don't think every detail worked out is important, even though as men, I think this is a male thing, we want to solve, we want to figure out the puzzle, we want to take it apart and put it back together as quickly as possible and just be able to explain it, where I know women in my life, they really couldn't care less about any of the details. They're just too upset to know that maybe there's a problem with the 3,000 victims story, the emotional barrier. So, again, I thought your argument with him, whether you're right or he's right, or to me it doesn't matter because that's being so far down the rabbit hole that the rest of the world really doesn't care. And really, I think the goal for everyone, if there is one, is just to make more people aware of what the manipulation that is going on.
Yeah.
But in my mind, September Clues, I think, really has come the farthest in explaining it. And to me, it makes the most sense with the total media fakery, with the victims, which is pretty hard to believe you can get that many people on board. But the more you read the explanations of how you could do it, the more it seems, well, that seems pretty reasonable, pretty possible. Especially when you have the cooperation of the media, which most people don't think is possible, but then because of its incredible concentration, it seems more possible.
Well, it's all an arm of the military, the media is, and are. And as I said earlier, I did
right.
buy what I was on board with the whole September Clues thing until he started going with this pure CGI thing. And it is a big deal because it what it does is it, and I used this out in the forums as well, duking it out in the trenches with all the other knuckleheads, is you know, none of the available videos can be relied upon as evidence for anything. And that's when I started realizing, well, then what are we doing here? We've got nothing. Without any evidence, we can't, because that's what Shaq and his group are saying, is that none of the video or photographs can be relied upon as evidence because they've all been tampered with. They go further than that and say it's all CGI. And that's why I split that hair on that article, was because it's not all CGI. It's far from all CGI. These are real photographs that may have been tampered with.
Uh-huh.
And by painting it with this broad brush of CGI, everything CGI, it actually gets the media off the hook. Because on the one hand, and this is what I noticed with a lot of, you know, like I'd say with the scholars, is they start with a great argument and then they leave you off a cliff.
Okay.
Well, that's what I started having issue with September Clues about, is that, you know, I was spellbound by that movie when it first came out. I couldn't believe it. That was the answer, right? The relief. Hallelujah. And so, but then everything's CGI, and I even bought that for a while. Yeah, look at that, the smoke clouds, the dust clouds. But then I started looking into my own videos and trying to make movies and things, and I realized, no way, man. That cannot be a digital graphic. The videos of the collapses cannot be fake. Not all of them. And that's why if you look on my YouTube channel, you'll see a few other short clips with like Jack Taliercio's image and a couple of the other photographers that caught different perspectives of the same dust clouds and themselves in the same video. You can't fake this stuff. These are real humans taking real video of a real event. And those buildings collapsed. And that's why it became so imperative for me to write that letter. It was because they were being very disingenuous about that. Then they're digging their heels in, and they would mock me. And you can read the conversation on the Clues forum. And where I lost it, you can read that too. But the video evidence, to me, is clear that, yes, they're partially right. They are. They're very partially right on the fake video. Every image and every video that I've seen that includes a plane can be proven fake, one way or the other. They
right.
cancel themselves out, but that's it. That's all they had to fake was the second plane impact.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then it becomes, what about all of the other cameras, you know, his digital cameras and analog cameras and, you know, his HERF transmitters that'll kill cell phone batteries and what have you. No, they're not that good at it. They don't have that much control, and they can't do anything about analog cameras, and they can't do anything about the people who could see both the towers and the television. Because the televisions were still visible. There was interruptions here or there, but they needed people to see the TV, and they needed people to see the same image on the live television as they could see out their window. So
right.
a fake world with pure CGI explosions and demolitions makes absolutely no sense at all, unless you're trying to discredit all of the photographic evidence. And that means that the photographic evidence must tell us how it was done, otherwise it wouldn't be so important for them to have it discredited.
Right. Okay. I don't quite follow. I just thought that if you would agree that, so now we're just talking degrees of fakery, and in my mind, I think it would be much easier to. I think I read one incident or one of the forums on September, one of the threads on September Clues that sort of made more sense, in that. We don't even know what the real timeline was, because and I don't know if anyone's been able to prove it, and it's 11 years later, and I don't think it matters anymore, the details, if you really want to work out the details, because I think it would have been easier to have total media fakery. It seems like they evacuated the lower half of Manhattan at approximately 8:30, just under the guise of what they always seem to do is call it a drill, call it an exercise, and once they got everyone out, drained out of all the buildings, and again, I subscribe to the hollow towers theory that the two towers were, or the whole complex was probably empty, or definitely devoid of any people, and at which point they ran the movie. Now, the people of Lower Manhattan didn't know what was going on, because I don't think even any of the explosions or smoke were being done. So if people are just walking around, well, they're not going to be walking around the area because they've been cleared out of there, under the guise of a movie set or drills or evacuation, so nobody would be looking up or around. And again, nobody would even have their camera in their hand. And sometime during that 102 minutes, they demolished the two buildings. Now, who knows what you would have been able to see? The only people perhaps that would have been able to see are people from a distance. And again, how many people would be able to say, okay, the towers fell? And no one is going to disagree with them because most of the people saw it on TV. I said, yeah, they fell, but then they might have said, well, they fell this way. No, I saw them fall this way. So even the eyewitnesses that might have been at a distance, whether it be Staten Island, across the Hudson River, they saw them fall, but they saw smoke and they saw dust. But again, it's just degrees of what they saw. So to me, it makes total more sense if they can control all the imagery and do whatever they want, whether they put little Easter eggs in them so all the people that they know will be suspicious can grab onto and go one direction, one or the other. But to me, the simplest solution was just total fakery, whether it be incorporating real images from maybe weeks before when, or years before when they filmed it. It doesn't really matter. I think, to me, that works for me. But you...
Except the evidence
seem to be...
Yeah, the evidence doesn't support
that.
That's just it, is that, yeah, it seems like a great story, but the evidence doesn't support that. All of these things about the evacuations, can it be verified that Manhattan was evacuated? I mean, there's plenty of video of boat evacuations, evacuating lots of people after the towers fell. There were quite, I don't know the number, I think it's 500,000 people or something. I don't know how many, but it was just, there's called the, I can't remember the name of the video, but there's a video about it. There's plenty of videos that show lots of people there. And this evacuation video would prove pretty conclusively that no, they weren't evacuated prior to the destruction. There were people right there. In fact, they would have counted on them. They can't hide two quarter mile high buildings, the tallest things visible for miles around. They can't. Yes, there's going to be visibility problems from certain parts of the city, certain
right.
streets, the canyons, you're not going to be able to see them. Leslie Raphael wrote a great piece about the Jules Naudet films called Jules Naudet's First Shot Was Staged, where he goes through very carefully the different vantage points that were visibility. You know, they couldn't hide these buildings. They couldn't evacuate Manhattan. They couldn't put up a smoke screen to hide them. I mean, they're on the ocean. They couldn't count. They couldn't control that stuff. And besides, if their set was all fake, why did it look like missile impacts? Why wouldn't they make their plane gashes look a lot more like a plane gash than missile impacts? I mean, it's sloppiness all over the place. If it was a real video, if it was digitized, everything, they could have zoomed in tight. You could see office furniture in these empty buildings.
Right.
We saw none of that. We saw
right,
they
could have, right, but why bother? Really, they got their effect. I don't. I mean, you can pick apart the videos for things that didn't look very good because overall they didn't look very good. But the effect was made. So maybe it was just a question of sawing off on how much more investment do you want to make in making these things look perfectly.
Well, what are
perfectly
you talking
in
about?
Every way.
What do you mean? They're making a fake city. They're making a fake world. I mean, that's what their claim is, that it's pure CGI. If they faked these collapses, it's a three-dimensional grid out there that they're creating. All the people falling out of the windows, all the boats in the water
right.
in the distance, all the houses on the hills, those are all digital models. They can't
right.
do that. They even now they can't do that. And furthermore, the other parts of the story are not supported by the evidence. I go where the evidence supports it. Whether or not it agrees with the, you know, my conclusion, that's why I left Shaq. It's like, no, the evidence isn't there.
Right.
And when I tried to confront him, he banned me. Of course, that's because I...
Well, if the media and the government are complicit in the whole thing, you don't know what's real evidence and what isn't. That to me, is the problem. You don't know who's real and who's not. So if we're not going to get a real investigation, we're just... going around in circles. So what evidence does anyone have to deal with other than what's presented? And we just cannot...
That's just it. And all we have is the presented photographic evidence, and Simon Schacht is out there discrediting all of it. So then
right.
we have this dip. But that's what I mean.
Then we have nothing. Right.
Absolutely nothing. So that's what I mean. It suits the interests of the most likely subjects or suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a reason to suspect him. What is a reason to suspect him is that he digs in his heels and he won't consider alternative theories that are supported by evidence.
All right. Well, I think it's an impossibility to get any consensus from any group. Everyone seems to have their own agenda, and nobody really knows what the real reason is for their agenda. So if the agenda is just to muddle all the evidence, so we look one way or the other, to me, I don't think there's anything you can do about it anyway, because...
Well, and that's the other defeatism that they try to impart. Sure, it's confusing,
well,
and yeah, it's definitely
no
discouraging. But yeah, I don't accept the defeatism anymore. We're not going to get to the bottom of this. That's what I did for a while, too. No, I don't buy that anymore. I think that we can get to the bottom of this, and I think the evidence is all there.
Okay. Well, I guess you're willing to spend more time on it than most people, because it just seems like such a mug's game. Because if you can't get official cooperation, which we know we're not going to, it almost seems like banging your head against the wall and expecting just doing it because it feels good when you stop.
So let's do something different. Let's do a crash test that will actually prove it to somebody.
Right. Well, yeah, the crash test will show that one element is impossible, but it's really verifying what most people's common sense would tell them.
We're appealing to common sense. We're bypassing the media. We're bypassing the experts, and we're going right to the people to say, hey, what does this look like to you? And whether or not it works, I don't know, but it's something.
Yeah, it's something. But again, who is going to officially delve into it? And I think the answer is nobody.
Of course not, yeah.
I agree. I probably have a more defeatist attitude. I don't know if it's defeatist or just realist in the sense that...
So what do we do then? What would you suggest?
Well, I don't know. I think the main thing is... I think your idea is a good inciting stunt, and that's all we can call it, a stunt, just to generate interest, because I don't even know the right approach to tell someone I don't know about, that doesn't know about 9/11. I don't even know what the first thing to even say to them is. I don't know, even know how to introduce it anymore. Because
show them that video. Show them video.
Yeah, well, no, that's good. That is a good thing, because I guess that's the number one thing people have seen is Flight 175 allegedly going into the tower. I guess that's what's stuck in most people's mind. And if you can put your video right beside it that contradicts it directly, then perhaps that'll open up the box for them.
Well, it's also important it's also important to couch the whole subject differently, to approach it as, look, we've had 11 years of war because of this event. So let's go to the root of the problem here. And so that's, you know, appealing to people's, I don't know, my generation was in the 60s when there was supposed to be a peace movement going on.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to do, is get some interest in the mainstream, people who want peace. Well, this is a good way to do it. It really is. I mean, it makes it clear what's going on when an impossibility is shown right before your eyes like that, we have been lied to. And maybe even if it means that somebody will not go vote for Romney or vote for Obama this time, because either way, it's not going to change anything. Maybe it'll get somebody else to speak out, and maybe it'll get somebody else to stand up and say, yeah, BS. I call BS.
All right. We're going to interrupt this thought process. We have Marcus on the line who wants to talk. And let me unmute you and go ahead, Marcus. Good evening.
Hi, Marcus.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Never better.
We're all good. I'm fine, Marcus. And Marcus, I've enjoyed listening to some of your shows. You come across very clearly and eloquently, but... So
I appreciate
commend
it.
You on your show.
And is it Steve who's on the other side?
Yeah, it's Steve here.
Hey, Steve, have you ever heard of Truth in 7 Minutes, my website, or any of the calls that I've done?
I think so, yeah. I think I may have sent you an email a while back. I don't know.
So I'm a bit confused because...
We're all confused.
I mean, I've known Simon Shack since no one even knew who Simon Shack was. His real name is Simon Heighten. Heighten mm-hmm. is Shack in Norwegian, I understand. Mm-hmm. And I'm a bit confused as to what your conclusion is here. You say that Simon Shack and you disagree because... He's saying that everything is fake, and you're saying that everything isn't fake. But what's your conclusion? I mean, do you agree that well, tell me what your conclusion is. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
What do I think happened?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm way out on the fringe on this. Nobody that I know agrees with me completely, but I believe that it was partially they had to use a layered video effect, green screen, to cover up the missiles.
Missiles, okay.
Yeah, multiple missiles had to be used, and this is proved by looking at the damage. And I'm working on another video that will highlight it.
Right.
But yeah, when I have very very carefully looked at the damage of the towers, and that's one way I know that they are not fake photographs because the damage is consistent from one photograph to another, and from one video to another. They may be tampered with, or they may be crappy videos and crappy photos, but the damage is consistent. And when compared to the known ordinances of what could cause damage like that in 2000, it comes down to missiles.
Is this Steve talking, by the way? Because you sound different when I'm talking to you on the phone than when you do over the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is Steve. Yeah, I might be getting excited. My voice rises when that happens.
Oh, okay.
It's Yankee 451, so.
This is the huge issue that I have with Simon Shack because I've interviewed Simon Shack twice, and he has backtracked on the missile theory because I said to him, I said, how can you be so sure of what happened when you're analyzing videos as if they were real? And it sounds like you're kind of doing the same thing.
I agree with that.
So what's the question then?
How can you analyze video as if they're real if they've been tampered with? If something has been tampered with, mm-hmm. then you have to throw that out as real evidence. You can't
right.
consider it as real.
But can you prove that it has been tampered with? And let me ask this.
Mm-hmm.
If all it takes to discredit evidence is to tamper with a little bit of the video or a little bit of a photograph,
mm-hmm.
why not just tamper with all of it to discredit all the evidence? And that way you could have real photographs of a real event with proof that shows how they did it, but all you have to do is tweak a little bit here and a little bit there, and it's no longer any good, and now we have to throw the whole thing out.
It depends on who does the tweaking. And you said that if we go with what Simon Shack is saying, and I don't agree with what Simon Shack is saying, but if we go with what he's saying, then that takes the responsibility away from the people who really did it. I'm confused. If the media put out tampered videos, that doesn't take away from the fact that the media did 9/11.
What it does is it discredits all the evidence. Even the good videos that aren't tampered with.
But what is the good let's assume that you're right, and let's say that the good video isn't tampered with, then who do you blame? Who are you going to blame now?
Well, I have to look
for
at
doing
the
9/11.
I consider it to be the U.S. military behind it all
okay.
along.
Okay. Now, doesn't the okay, that's fine, and I agree with that, but doesn't the U.S. military, which I believe is a red herring, it's the worldwide military under the guise, right? So the worldwide military is run by whom?
I don't know.
You really don't know?
I don't pretend to know this stuff. The money power is what I call it. The
people so now
the power.
Now we're getting into the Alex Jones, it's the bankers, right?
No, yeah, it's always some higher power invisible.
How would you describe it? The New World Order? What do you want to call it? I mean, the people with money in all countries have much more in common with each other than they do with us. And so what do you want to call it?
Well, I don't call it anything. I know that the public face, as high as I can go, that I'm reasonably confident, and I don't care what anyone else thinks because this isn't a court of law. In fact, the people who did 9/11 run the courts of law, and that would be Freemasonry. Now, that's the public face. I am absolutely certain that it goes way higher than Freemasonry. But if you look from the public face, this is Freemasonry. Freemasonry runs everything. I mean, military, the media, the banks, the monies, education, UNESCO, the United Nations, it's all Freemasonry. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that it ends there. That's the public. That's as far as we can go publicly.
Yeah. Well, Marcus, any other direct questions? Because we could go on for who did it for a long time. I really am about just talking about people's experiences with trying to wake up people, to be honest with you, because all the rabbit holes about who's pulling what strings are impossible to prove any which way anyway. So I'm just, do you have any more direct question for Steve, maybe more relevant
to his
YouTube video?
Well, I saw a comment, I believe, on Steve's site that, or on the Shaq site about him kind of poking fun at Phil Jahan about his ego. And then Phil Jahan just played on Talk Shoe, I don't know if it was a live recording or one from a year ago, of you and him talking, and you guys seem pretty chummy. So what was that audio that we heard from a couple weeks ago, a recent audio?
It was recent, within the last, I think, 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, Phil and I had a falling out. We have a love-hate relationship. We're back on speaking terms again.
Okay, because that's a bit confusing to me. That's why I'm getting mixed signals here. It's like...
Yeah, my ego had a falling out with Phil's ego. That's what you may have read on my website. And,
okay.
So then
with that said, what is your opinion about Brian Stavely?
I don't have one.
Okay, well, we're kind of devolving into just... He said into schoolyard stuff. This is stuff you hear in the schoolyard. What do you think of him? What do you think of it? It doesn't really matter in the end, does it, Marcus?
This is your show, but
yeah,
I don't know why you're so quick to cut
it,
me off.
Not well, because I want to try and stay on topic.
Kind of like gossiping, isn't it?
If I'm going to hook up with people who like to talk about this sort of thing, it's kind of like a girlfriend. You got to investigate your girlfriend before you go a little bit further, don't you?
Yeah, probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to interview me, that's fine. I don't have an opinion on that because I can tell you what I tried to do. I tried to solicit Brian to interview me so I could give him my opinion about what's going on between me and Shaq, and that it was Brian could actually use his power with his radio station to smooth over things, you know, to take the high road.
Right.
I'm not taking sides here. Phil and I have had our fallings out, and I'm not taking sides on any of this stuff, and I insist on not taking sides on this at all because I don't know. I don't know the details of it all. I was oblivious to that whole interchange. I was just reaching out to Brian to try to stop it.
All right. Okay, Marcus, thanks for your call. I just want to ask Steve a few questions before I end the call, because, again, I just wanted to get Steve on and explain his video and really talk about more about his experiences with waking people up, because that's my interest now. I don't think anyone has any – there's just no way to verify most of these stories. And when they devolve into finger pointing and he said, she says, it just gets us totally off track. And I think it's wise for no one to say, I don't want to be part of any truth movement. We just want to make people aware of what's going on around them. I think joining up with this person and that person, it's not going to work. It's not going to make any difference anyway if we align here and align there. So, again,
right.
Steve, let's just get back on track. And,
right. I'm all for a leaderless.
Maybe just tell me a few of your experience waking up people. Because yeah.
Sure, you broke up there.
Yeah, we don't need a leader because there's no movement to get together because now it's clear that a lot of these oppositions are controlled, and again we're just going to go down paths that make no sense and just get lost in all the arguing and shuffling. So I'm more interested in just your experience waking up other people within your family and friends. I'm curious how you approach it and what kind of reaction you get, because that's what I find more interesting in this whole thing, because we're not going to solve it. There's certainly no way we're going to get every detail of what happened in New York, and it's irrelevant at this point because we know there's a lot of complicity and fakery. So go ahead. Tell me about some of your experiences, how you start with them, these people, and how it ends.
Well, I could tell you a lot of how not to do it. I'm not sure about the successful ones. I've been mostly successful with the crash test video. But at first, I was reaching out to people in work and whispering. You know, I was always a Republican-Democrat thing back then, and it became quick. It became apparent very quickly that you can't talk about this on the street to people, but it didn't stop me. So what did I do at first? Oh, I went out. I burned a bunch of copies of Loose Change.
Right.
And I went around and I handed them out on street corners. I gave them as tips at restaurants. that's what I did for a while. I burned a few copies. I'd leave them around work. And then when I realized, oh no, I was barking up the wrong tree, I actually found a few of the people I gave them to and said, don't watch that. But, you know, I that sort of thing. How would you do it? How do you reach out to people? That's why in the video I say you can only really reach out to the people you know.
That's right, yeah.
I don't have a media conglomerate in my back pocket to pull out and, you know, advertise for me. So I would do anything you can. It's really an individual call. It's up to everybody's own experiences to how you're going to broach something like this. Me, it seemed like stopping the war seemed a good way, and that's been the best response I've received so far, so I'm sticking with that.
Right.
That's what I would do is to find another way around it. The other thing is, you know, employment. Everybody's got an employment issue. Everybody's scared of losing their jobs. Well, I talk about it at work. I might be in trouble about that because we do insure the military where I work. But there's got to be a point at which everybody just, if you really believe this, you got to stand up and talk about it. And you got to say, damn the torpedoes. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. This is the truth. And for me, it was important just to at least get it out there and to put my signature on it, because I want to, at least for posterity's sake, to go on record as saying, I called BS. So even if that's only a goal you have to say, I didn't buy it, then do that. But do something.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to convince anybody, flip anyone,
yes,
to at least
look into it?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And was that just by the movie Loose Change or some
Loose Change didn't get me anywhere.
Right.
No, it was actually the crash test video that I've had the best response, and that's only been in the last, three or four months when I started the process of just conceptualizing and then bouncing it off people, seeing the response and saying, yeah, I got to do this because this is the best response. My family wouldn't give me the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
They still think I'm a little nuts, okay? And so
right.
Embarrasses them to talk about it in public, and I do, though. I do. So I sent the video to my sister, and she responded back and said, wow, that's powerful. Good
mm-hmm.
work. And that's, to me, that was it. I'm done. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, because, she thinks that that's a it's a calm, sane way to approach it as opposed to screaming about hollow towers, no victims, total media fakery. That's just too much for people.
Exactly. And you can't even scratch the surface on this whole subject without suddenly getting swept away. Very quickly, you can get swept away down, you know, one of your dead ends that you described earlier.
Right.
So that's the, with this project, I think it's a great way to get people to see very easily the hole in the ground and nothing there, and then the hole in the Pentagon and nothing there, and then these planes disappearing into the towers. Yes, that does get people to think because it's a visual demonstration. And then you throw in some explosions. What's not to love? This is America.
All right. Who do you listen to in the media? Have you listened to? Or is there anyone you listen to in particular, just for your information, radio wise, or what are you reading now that you can stomach, as it were?
I'm reading a book called The Gold Warriors. It's about the Japanese plunder of Japan, of China, and in World War II, where they cleaned out 4,000 years worth of minted gold out of China and then shared it with the United States to get them out of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good book.
Right.
But as far as radio and media, I don't do it. I don't do the mainstream media at all anymore.
Right. Are you listening to anyone just on 9/11 topics at all, or
no,
that kind
I've,
of thing,
I've,
or is it all just yeah? Go ahead.
I gave up radio and television years and years ago.
Right.
I used to listen to Randy Rhodes right on Air America. I used to be so pissed off by the time I get home, I'd be spitting nails, you know, after listening to liberal hate radio all day.
Right.
And I realize it's all propaganda. It's all designed
yeah.
to get you riled and get you going. And besides, I don't want to have somebody else putting, you know, ideas in my head for me to think about all day. So I don't listen to it by design. I like not having all of that stimuli.
Right, right. Yeah, it's probably a good way. It's almost just to withdraw from it. Because it can make your head pop, can't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
And as far as television goes, I mean, there just aren't enough drugs on the planet. I don't know.
I unplugged my cable a long time ago. So anything I watch, I don't have to pay for because it's free
yeah.
over the air. So
right.
if I have to go watch it and see what the latest drugs to take in between news stories are for this
right.
and that, then I will. But... Yeah, I've unplugged as well, and I don't know if I'm going to stay plugged into the whole alternative media because it also, as I guess everyone here agrees, is controlled and does get you riled up and get you
yeah.
marginalized too, which is a big problem.
Right, so it becomes personal. What do you want to do? How far do you want to take it? How would you reach out to people, and what sort of impact are you really trying to make? And you got to keep it realistic.
Yeah.
We are sweeping back a gigantic ocean with a very small broom here. We're not going to get published. We're not going to be famous. We're going to be laughed at by all of your peers, but that's okay because look at your peers. But really, if you want to make a mark, do something.
Right. Yeah, one thing that I find interesting, and I don't know what you think of this, is I find there's nuggets, there's information in everybody's point of view. So I don't think it's necessary to go on, say, Simon Shack's forum or the Let's Roll forum and try and get everything lined up with the other person in terms of beliefs. I think it's impossible because, again, we don't have anyone who can verify any of this stuff. So I just... My approach is I don't throw anyone's opinion out. I just listen to it and decide what percentage of it I want to agree with. And again, it doesn't really matter what I agree with to anyone else anyhow. It's just all part of forming my own opinion. And one of the talk shows I listen to all the time is Jim Fetzer's talk show. And it's interesting how you go on the forums, these people get marked in a certain way, the shill, and then it seems like the goal is to make you stop listening to them completely. And number one, for me, the number one thing with radio is entertainment, whether I'm being entertained or not. And I just find Jim Fetzer's show entertaining, but now, just as I start to believe a lot of what he says, I think it's good that I go to another forum where they say, look, there's these inconsistencies with his point of view, just be careful. So now I listen to it with a more critical ear, and it sort of gives me an allowance to disagree with a lot of what he says. But still, I don't throw out the whole package because I still find it entertaining, and I still find a lot of good information there. So I don't know. I know you're going on his show, as you said, in the future. So I just wanted to let you know how I felt about his show.
Sure, I appreciate that.
And all sources.
I'm not going to. My goal is not to convince. Go ahead.
Yeah, my goal is not to convince you that I think my view on what Simon says is correct. But I'll listen to your theory. I'm not going to listen too deeply into it because, in the end, it doesn't make a difference. But I still keep an open mind, and I'm not going to throw out all elements of what you say because you bring a lot of good information as well. So I think if everyone approaches this with this kind of attitude, saying, look, I'm not throwing out this forum just because he says this or he's calling me this name. That's why I think getting into name calling is puerile and just a waste of time. So I think if we just take pieces of everyone's information and try and assemble into our own package and then go out and try and sell that package, which is an impossibility for the most part with everyone else anyway. So I think...
The way I look at it is look at the evidence that they're providing and look at and interpret it and look at their interpretation of the evidence that they're offering and ask yourself if you agree with their interpretation. Because it's really not what they're saying. It's the evidence they're offering and their interpretation thereof. So, I've been at it a little longer, and I'm still, I guess, starry-eyed, but I still think that we can crack this thing.
Yeah. Well, give it some more time, right?
Another 10 years. I'm there, man. I'm there.
All right. Well, I really appreciate this call, and I will do my best to promote your video to people I think have no clue what's going on, and hopefully you can get something started, get some money raised, and get a little bit of traditional media exposure. That would be good, too.
Yeah, it's not about money. It's about awareness. So, yes, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks very much. And, again, I was talking to Steve. Can you pronounce your last name again? Dayok, I'm sorry. Steve Dayok, he's got a website. And can you tell us the website one more time, please?
It's 911crashtests.org.
All right, perfect. Okay, thanks everyone for listening, and I'm signing off now. Good night.
Thank you.
Take care.
When a spirit is broken, why go on when there's nothing to say? And I love just a token. It was strong, now it's fading away. But I'm free as ever. And the years they have
falling, one by one, how they drifted away. But now I'm free as a lover, and I walk right out that door. You hear my words, I won't bother you no more. Yes, I'm feeling okay as I face a brand new day. As I face a brand new day.
Way behind, no more talk.